All right. Since we've got less than 30 seconds to go, you're listening to WRIRLP 97.3 FM Richmond. We are Richmond's independent radio, radio for the rest of us, and the official emergency broadcast outlet for the city of Richmond, VA, at least currently. I don't know if we've, you know, giving up that title just yet, but you are told to tune in here right now anyway. And it is 8 a.m. right there on the nose. Okay, I'm your host, Tall Feathers. This show is intertribal, and in just a couple of minutes, Michael Butcher will be calling in and sharing his story with us. He's trying to get going through the nomination process for in the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards up in Canada. And it just, I'm going to pull up that website pretty soon. But it is, it's all exciting. I had the pleasure of meeting him not too long ago, but we'll get into that a little bit more later. I'm going to go ahead and play Rain Down Your Love by Bill Miller. Again, keeping things rain or water oriented just a little bit because, well, the heat, the dry weather, we need some rain. So I'm kind of trying to openly invite the rain beings to and thunder beings to come on in and bless us with their water. All right, enjoy Bill Miller with Rain Down Your Love right here on 97.3 LPFM and www.rir.org. All right. And I'm expecting Michael Butcher to call in any minute. I'm going to go ahead and start one of his songs, Texas Cherokee. And I hope you are enjoying right here on 97.3 LPFM WWRAR.org.
There's a slab of stone with a story healed by a bent over oak tree. There are those who say that's all that remains of the Texas Cherokee. Well, you can look down through the ages and to this ancient hoop of life, and to the treaties of our fathers, and to the battles to fight. Who can put the price on freedom when they take away our home? And we can stand and raise the sword again with the courage of Chief Bowles. Just as sure as the nature's flows, it's our life and our homeland. Just as sure as the nation lives, it's our blood, it's who I am. Forever we will stand, forever live the Texas Cherokee.
Michael Butcher with Texas Cherokee. He's actually on the line with us right now, and just opened his mic up a little bit. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Katie. I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Well, welcome to Intertribal.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you getting up so early in your morning.
I'm usually up this early. It's not, yeah, it's good. It's not a big deal, nothing.
Okay, awesome. Well, Michael, let's put it that way. I love your music. I can't hide it. I love your music. When Hondo Mesa had sent me Bitter Tears, Sacred Ground, and that's when I first got introduced to you. And I just, between you and Joanne Shenandoah, that blend, it just really worked for me, and I love that CD. And your lyrics, oh my gosh. Where does this come from for you? I know that's got to be a difficult question to answer.
It's not really. When I sit down and I write a song that I'm passionate about, and usually, and most of the songs that I, or all of the songs that I write about, I'm passionate about, and Sacred Ground is certainly one of them, and I wrote that song, and it really, most songs I don't struggle with, everybody who writes a song, I think, has their own technique, or, you know, their similarities, but for me, if I have to struggle with it, or if I, the words aren't coming, I just put it aside, and I think, well, then it's not meant to be right now, you know. But right. But most of the time, if I sit down and I'm writing a song, I have a melody that comes, or I'll just play on my guitar, and something will come, and it's like, oh, and then the melody comes, and then the words come. I truly do mean this when I say I don't ever take it for granted or take it lightly. I take it as a blessing, as a gift. You know, I truly appreciate that I can do that, you know. But the words do come, and it's just, I don't know, it's not hard. It's not difficult. It's just, it's like if you could imagine an endless, you know, like if you sit down next to a river or a creek or something that flows, and you could tap into the energy of the water spirits and all of the energies that are around you, and it's so good, and it's all there for us to, you know, to really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the words coming to you. I really feel guided by ancient ones and creator. And so, like I said, I don't take it for granted, don't I? You know, and I'm certainly not, I don't scoff at it at all. I truly do appreciate it.
Well, I can tell you, the passion definitely comes through in the music and in the lyrics. They're just so strong, especially with Sacred Ground. I mean, and I want to tell you, Michael, when you played down at the Jewish Mother back in June, I don't know if, you know, I was sitting up front, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but there are some of those songs really brought tears down my cheek.
Oh,
I mean,
thank you.
It just, they reached out, and they affected me in a very positive way, and I connected. And it was a pleasure and honor to meet you. Can you give the listeners a little background about who you are and your, you know, what led you to be a musician, songwriter?
Absolutely. I'm at Cherokee Heritage, and been my whole life. I mean, my great uncle was the last fluent speaker of the language in my family. Well, my grandmother, but my great uncle was the last surviving. We lost him about 4 years ago. And my great uncle actually is the one who kind of, more than kind of, he pushed me into writing music. Oh, we would talk. He was old, very old, but his health was getting weaker and weaker, and he knew he was getting ready to change worlds. But every other Saturday, we would talk. Usually around noon, we'd try and connect with each other, and no matter where I was or no matter he was. And so we would talk about everything under the sun, but usually all issues in Indian country. And our conversations would always wind up about sacred sites, where, I got Native newspapers, which I still have, you know, and still get delivered here, and the magazines and all that. And when you really start watching what's going on across the country, there's a whole lot of things that are just staying the same. And the abuse and the degradation of our sacred sites still occurs, and most people don't realize that, you know, unless you're native and you really watch what's going on, you know. But all across the country, we're losing our sacred sites, development or agriculture or whatever, you know. And some, you know, some people say, well, it's progress, you know. But so we would talk about sacred sites and some heated discussions, you know.
Uh-huh.
We're both on the same side, of course. But so I started writing, you know, I was writing songs, and his health was getting, he was time to change. Well, 2 days before he changed worlds, he called me and he said, Mike, you have to do something. If you have to quit complaining about it, do something, use your voice, use your music to reach people, to educate people. Because we both said the same thing, that I really don't believe that most educated people, most or anybody with any sense of normalcy would like to see their graveyards dug up by people who are, you know, and most some people dig them up, you know, native grave sites for, they're looking for trinkets, or they think, well, they're so old, you know, who cares, or we're just looking for gold, or we're just looking for souvenirs. But it's still a grave. I don't
yes.
care how you slice it. You know, I don't care if it's someone else's grave. And when you look back into cemeteries that are being desecrated, you don't really even see that too much. But all across the country, 70% of native burial mounds and grave sites have been desecrated, and still are. Actually, in Ohio, there's thousands of mounds, and so many have been lost. Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes.
100 years ago, there was 231 grave sites. There's one left.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so people don't understand that, you know, but that's what I started. That's how I started my music. I wrote a song called Don't Forget About Me, which actually you had mentioned, How Do They Come? That song came to me so quickly, seriously, it came so quickly that I had to ask the Ancient One to slow down. I could not write that fast. And the song that is on that CD, 7, Don't Forget About Me, is exactly how it came to me. I didn't change one thing, you know.
Right.
And so that's how I started. And I still do. I still work with any country across this country on trying to protect and save our sacred sites.
Well, I for one, appreciate all the effort that does go out and the music. And thank you for listening to your uncle, as any good child should.
Yep, you're right. Yep, when great uncle says do something, you better do it.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, gosh. All right, Aboriginal People's Choice Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's very cool. It's Canadian, actually.
Yes.
And Canada, Native people, Indian people are called, is what they call themselves, First Nations. And or Aboriginal, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. But it's the Aboriginal People's Music Choice Awards. It's pretty much the same. Well, it is the same thing as this. In the United States, we have the Native American Music Awards, the NAMIs. And in Canada, they have their awards.
Right.
And but what's different with that is it's based completely on, that's why they call it People's Choice, it's based on voting, on the public. And, of course, most people who win there are Canadian artists, which is good. You know, I mean, that's very cool. But, they're accepting people from the U.S. now, and Native people from across the world, so which is very cool. I think everybody appreciates that. And so, yeah, we decided to throw our hat in the ring and try entering Believe, my latest CD, and see what, you know, how it goes.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm glad you're there, actually.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, there's actually, interestingly enough, there's a couple of artists that are nominated, but, you know, we won't mention them because
that's cool.
We're talking to you.
You know what? We're all in this together.
You are? But I will openly, I have to say this one. Gabriel Ayala is also in the running. He's got his CD submitted, and there was one category where I'm scrolling down, And I come across Gabriel's name, and I keep scrolling because I want to see who else is there, you know, just who he's competing against. And I saw your name, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I have to choose.
It's all good. Gabe and I are good friends. I love Gabe.
He is awesome.
He is an incredible guy. I mean, well, as a musician, he is an absolute monster. He is just incredible.
Absolutely.
But as a person, seriously, as a person, Gabe is top. I can't say enough good about Gabe. He works for his people. His passion and mine are the same, our kids, our youth. I believe in the anxious ones, but I also believe in our youth across Indian country, and he does the same. And he works with kids, so do I. We both donate a lot of our time for charities or you know, for working with kids, you know, mm-hmm. doing workshops. And he does the same thing. I love Gabe so much. We were actually, I met Gabe several times across, you know, different places when you play across the country. And we just, every time we get together, we just hang with each other. And we've been threatening to do a tour together. You know, scheduling, and there's always conflicts. But there's no doubt in my mind, sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And you better make Richmond, Virginia, one of your tour stops.
Yep.
We have a Coliseum. We have a performance arts center. There are places. We have several colleges which invite, you know, artists, musical artists in. So, you know, we are on the map.
Very cool. Good. Hey, that was the other part of it, too, is where would we, you know, when we were really, really seriously discussing it. Actually, we were discussing it several times. And that's what we were talking about. Where would we play? We'd love to play Richmond. Because we're talking north, you know, if nothing else, we hit the four directions, north,
right.
South, east, and west. And that would definitely be an eastern spot.
That would definitely be an eastern spot. And it's easy to get to, you know, 2 hours away from the beach, 2 hours from D.C.,
yep.
You know, roughly, and depending on how fast one drives, I don't encourage anybody to speed. But, you know, well, yeah, we're centrally located, and I think it would be I'm definitely out promoting our city because I'm just tired of everybody going to either D.C. or, you know, Hampton Roads or something like that.
Right.
We have a culture too, and we have performance centers, and we're good.
Awesome.
We need y'all here too. All right, let's see. I would like to go ahead and play, I think it's Sacred Ground.
Sure.
Off the Bitter Tears CD, and that's a little over 3 minutes, just almost 4 minutes long. Do you think you can hang out and listen to the music
absolutely.
That long?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, folks, I have at www.rar.org. You can actually click on my blog, enter in, and you'll see the website for the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards. If you'd like to get involved, you're definitely invited to do so. Michael, don't you have a website?
I do. That's michaelbucher.com. michaelbucher.com.
Can't get
it. There's no S in Busher. It's just like butcher.
Right. But pronounced just a little bit differently.
Right.
All right. Let's go ahead and launch the CD. I want to remind everybody you are listening to Intertribal right here on 97.3 LPFM and www.rar.org. We have Michael Bucher on the phone with us right now. We're going to go to his CD. This is off the Bitter Tears Sacred Grounds, and we're going to go ahead and launch Sacred Ground. Enjoy.
It's a place that we call sacred, a quiet, holy ground, a spirit sanctuary. You can feel the breath of God. It's older than our memory, heard our every word. 1,000 years our churches stood, 1,000 years returned to sacred ground. Sacred ground.
shrine and all the glory. It's peace to those who find a voice from their creator. It's in the wind, the sun, the sky. Grandfather gave it to us, shares it for all time. The ancient place where we have prayed, revealing the divine on sacred ground. On sacred ground. On sacred ground. Our church is nothing more than a playground or a monument. We don't belong here anymore. But do we lay down and beside in quiet disbelief? Or will we be the last one standing? Remember what it means on sacred ground. On sacred ground.
Wow. How do you feel about that one?
Oh, you know, every time I hear that song, excuse me, I think of when we recorded it. And oh, I love that song. But I think of Joanne Shenandoah. She plays the flute in that song.
Oh, she does?
She does, yep.
Awesome.
And when I heard her playing the flute, it's like, Joe, I didn't know you played flute. She is so funny. She has got such a great sense of humor. But she put the flute down, pretty much one take, bam. And we actually recorded that whole CD in 2 days.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But that song, I wrote that song, actually. I was doing a radio interview, and I think I told this when I played it, Jewish Mother, but I did a radio interview a couple of years ago, and it was on, we were talking about sacred sites. And
yes.
We were talking about Bear Butte in South Dakota, and a caller had called in, and he was agitated. That we have sacred sites and we're trying to protect them. And he said, you know, I don't know what it is with you Indians. Everything's sacred to you. And so we can't even dig a hole in our backyard without, you know, getting your permission. It's like, man, that's not true. It's not true at all. You know, and so the conversation went on, but. I felt like I had to write a song explaining to people that our sacred sites across this country, and there's not, it's not like there's, you know, everywhere and you can't, but there are designated spots.
Mm-hmm.
Bear Butte is one of them in South Dakota, San Francisco Peaks in Arizona, that are just legendary. For thousands of years, Native people have gone there from all tribes, from so many different, even tribes that warred with each other. We'd go to these sacred sites and peaceably go there and pray. And, you know, it was just understood that these places were very sacred.
Yes.
And I just wanted to, in a song, try and explain to people that, that the places where we pray, just because they're outside, but they're equally as important as a, you know, a church with stained glass and the cathedrals and all that. It's the same. Our cathedrals are outside, but it's still, you know, you feel and hear the voice of God there no matter where you're at. You know, if you're tapping into that, it's all spiritual. It's all good, you know. That's where the song came from.
Well, that's, I can't agree more with you. I know that's how I feel the closest when I'm out in nature and I'm walking or just sitting on a rock or something. That in my childhood, that's where my refuge was. And the sacred site issues are something that I became aware of back in around 1996. And I had spent 3 weeks out in South Dakota, and that was definitely one of the things that we continually stayed focused on. And when we were getting ready to visit certain areas, we would first, especially when we knew that they were sacred, we would come together as a group and discuss what our purpose was. And if we were simply just going, you know, to have a good time and to tour and whatever, it just, with that mindset, we just were not going to go.
Right.
But if we had, and Bear Butte was definitely a hot topic of, you know, well, we almost didn't go. And I had shared the story with you privately,
yeah,
you know, why it was good that we did, but it was one of those where we almost didn't go, and that
out
was
out of respect. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
And but that was it was very important for me that we did, and so I was grateful when our group decided to go ahead and stay very respectful and mindful and spiritual when we were there. But it was important, and I know years later, when I took my family out there, we also visited Devil's Tower. And people have to understand that you know, the general public use these areas to just vacation on and just kind of go mountain climbing. And one of the things I thought about was, gee, maybe we should get a group together, go to, you know, one of the cathedrals and just start giving tours while they're during the height of Mass.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what is happening. And, you know, I how would people feel if other people started rappelling out of the ceiling while they're praying?
Right.
You know, I mean,
exactly. That's a good analogy. And that, you're right. That's exactly. I mean, maybe for your listeners, they're thinking, well, that's extreme. But that is exactly, as you're explaining it, that's exactly what's happening.
Not
Devil's Tower. When people are praying, or in Bear Butte in South Dakota, you're absolutely correct. People are trying to prepare themselves in a traditional manner, spiritually,
yes,
for a Sundance, which is maybe misunderstood by some people. But Sundance is not, you know, it's not that they're praying to the sun. They're praying to Creator, and the only thing they feel they have to offer is themselves, because everything else is a gift from Creator. Everything that we have, our clothes, our existence, you know, our food, everything is a gift. It comes from Mother Earth, and so that's a gift. But so the only thing we truly have to give is our own bodies and our own self. And so that's what they're preparing. They're preparing to cleanse themselves and really give back to Creator for their people, for their, you know, their clans and their people and their kids. And when, and you're absolutely right, when people are there, and when you're on vacation, you know, you like to do things, but when you're
right,
when you're preparing for Sundance and you have helicopters flying over taking videos of the Indians, you know, up on Bear Butte, and the people in ultralights just buzzing constantly, and it, you can't pray. And you're right, if you were in a cathedral and you had people there, like in Devil's Tower, rappelling, you know, mountain climbing and scooting down, you're trying to pray. Yeah, it's very distracting, and you can't. You just can't.
Yes, yeah, I you can't. It's just, you can't connect. You can't
right,
do what you're there to do. I asked you before we brought you on air if we could bring up the topic of blood quantum.
Mm-hmm.
And because in some of your songs, you know, those lyrics are there.
Right.
So it raised my curiosity on your perspective of Blood Quantum, because I was sharing this with my son last night, that I feel that my cellular structure, my DNA, that double helix holds the history of all my people as far back. So
it does.
You know, and yet so many hold to that Blood Quantum issue. It's like,
It's a touchy subject.
It is a very...
But it's a, in my view, subject that really needs to be dealt with. Or not dealt with, but needs to be, I don't know. It's funny, in Indian country, a lot of Native people, you know, I'm more Indian than you, but
right.
If we all understood, everybody on all sides of the spectrum, whether you're 100% or whether you have a drop, if we united, I mean, you look at different voting blocks. Now, let's fast forward to today.
Right.
Who gets the most attention is the squeakiest wheel. Everybody knows that. But who gets the most attention when it comes to the political spectrum and rights and all of those things are the, you know, the people who vote. Now, if we all, with, like I said, 100% to one drop, said we're uniting as Native people, we're all Native people, let's unite if we could. You know, we make up 1%. Indian country makes up 1% of the population of this country. But when we're concentrated, like you said, in Richmond, if people who are Native people, and my great uncle and we had this conversation. If you have one drop, you're Native. Because if as long as you accept it, I mean, you could be, let's say you're Polish or German or you name a heritage. If you claim that heritage, you might have Scandinavian blood in you too. But you're claiming your Polish heritage or your German heritage. Good for you. That's amazing. So you call yourself German, and you are. That's every sense of your being is who you are.
Right.
It's exactly who you are. And like you and me and all of the million, we would be more than 1%. We would be, you know, we could be 5%. Now we're, you know, and 1% is still powerful, but if we really united,
yes.
it would be incredible what we could do for each other and for, you know, all of Indian country.
Absolutely, I would agree. And all I can say is from my own personal experience is when I was a child, my grandmother didn't talk about it very much, and I didn't need her to. Per se, it was just conversation that was, oh, that's curious, you know, if
right.
it was said, you know, in a public setting as far as our family household, but most of the conversations I've heard were basically passed on from my mother to me of what my grandmother said, and
right.
it's not something I heard verbatim, but...
That is so common, too.
It's just, when I... And I kid you not, when I watched Westerns, and John Wayne is go, 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 and wow, let's kill them Redskins, and
yep.
it's, I cried.
Yeah.
I would cry when a Native would get shot in the movies, and then when a warrior group, you know, happened to be, or some scouts happened to come across some cowboys or, you know, whoever, and they killed the white guys, I would be happy.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you where that came from. I mean, this was in my youth before I understood the adult conversations. And it wasn't until later, when my eyes were opening and my heart was opening, that I'm realizing, and everything's beginning to make sense, that intuitively, I mourned the loss.
Right.
And it just, wow.
I don't know, you've heard of John Trudell.
Yes,
okay.
Very much.
I've listened to him speak so many times, and an amazing guy to listen to. Just confusing sometimes, but all in all, the history behind John Trudell is just an amazing story in itself. But And when I heard him say these words, I thought, of course. And he mentioned inherent memory.
Mm.
It's just like you had mentioned earlier. It's in your DNA. It's in every sense of your being, in every part. And I really do believe that we have inherent memory. It's in you, you know. And so a lot of people wonder where does this come from. But I really do believe it. It's inherent. You inherited it from your memory of what makes up your body, your DNA.
Yes.
That makes you who you are.
Yeah. So
it remembers. It you know, it does.
It does. When I trained in the martial arts, there was, you know, they talked of cellular memory, of, you know, getting your move down so well that it just, you do it without thinking, and that was taught, you know, where they said that's cellular memory. And so I do, you know, many cultures have that belief structure, and science is actually proving it. So,
yeah.
What can I tell you?
I know. But the blood quantum, absolutely. If you have native blood in you and you accept that and you look at it, you know, and if you really don't want a part of it, then, you know, that's who you are. Everybody's got their own journey to take in this world.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
All right. Well, Michael, it's been all too short. It's really been all too short. I shared on my social networking page, I shared with Wolf Spirit that you were going to be on air, and she's on her way to powwow, so I'm not sure she's able to tune in, but she said, please, please, please write a wolf song for her. And Three Crows, you know, he made a posting on my blog this morning and said, please give Michael my regards. He writes some very powerful music, and you do. So what I'd like to do is close out with, with Believe. This is the CD that is up for nomination. Votes for Best Folk, an acoustic CD in the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards, and I figured we'd share with them that particular track. Is there another track you would like to hear, maybe?
No, that's fine. Believe is awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, Michael, again, thank you for joining Intertribal right here in Richmond, but where are you at?
I'm in actually northwestern Wisconsin.
Oh, beautiful area, I hear.
It is. It's an amazing morning this morning, and sun's coming up. The winds are off, but a nice breeze, and it's a beautiful morning.
And we're here.
Katie, I'll just very quickly, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on. I truly do appreciate it. It's funny. You're right. It goes by so fast, but it's a pleasure talking with you. Make it so easy. And I don't know, musicians out here, especially in Indian country, I truly appreciate you playing my music. I appreciate that.
Well, it's thank you, and I appreciate being able to be here. This is something Creator asked me to do way back in 1996 out in South Dakota. Who knew?
Yeah.
10 years later, I'd be doing something like this. Okay.
Right.
But it's a passion, it's a love, it's a wonderful journey. It's allowed me to meet people, both performer and listener, who I never would have had the opportunity to meet. You all have enriched my life, and I can't thank you enough for being on the front line and putting out the music. And please, just be sure to spread the wealth that there is a station. We are non-Native owned. This is an urban radio station, and because they represent, WRIR represents unrepresented or underrepresented music, this show is allowed to exist. And it has a very large following, so please tell all your other artist friends to connect with me. It would be most, you know, most enjoyable.
Thank you. I will. Hey, have you ever interviewed Gabe?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I've interviewed him a couple of times, actually met him finally up in New Jersey at a music festival, Native Music Festival, and It was awesome. Just, again, not enough time.
Right. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, you be blessed. Enjoy your morning.
Thank you, Katie.
And we'll see you around. And good luck in the awards structure.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right here on Intertribal, WRIR, Believe with Michael Butcher.
If I were a healer, I'd tell you what I'd do. Well, I'd heal up all our children from the alcohol and abuse. So I'd take away all their heartache, take away all their fear, and I'd wrap them in a Pendleton blanket. I could see them smile again. Oh, well, I'd help them break these chains and bind them to their misery. Oh, and I'd show them a better way to put an end to their suffering. Oh, yeah. Or to be. Side of midnight, when the darkest hours come, and it's the other side of this empty life that they're searching for, and I'd show them there's a future brighter than their wildest dream, and I'd show
Michael Butcher with Believe. All right. Well, thank you, Michael, for calling in. I really do appreciate it. I'm humbled and elated both at the same time. All right. Broadcast of WRAR is made possible in part by the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts, featuring 16 galleries, dining, shopping, and its newest ticketed exhibition, Fabergé, revealed. All in 500,000 square feet of air-conditioned space. Enjoy the cool factor. After all, it's your art, Virginia. With Virginia's severe summer heat and humidity, staying cool isn't a luxury but a health and safety issue. From now through Monday, August 15th, the Commonwealth's 120 local departments of social services are accepting applications for cooling assistance to help residents in need purchase, repair, and operate fans and air conditioning. Assistance may be available to households with small children, senior citizens, or persons with disabilities. To learn more, you can visit dss.virginia.gov or call your local Department of Social Services in Richmond at 804-646-7212. All right, I got Passion, Fire, and Grace right here with Gabriel Ayala and Will Klittman. They're also up for the Aboriginal People's Choice. Enjoy. Well, folks, this is going to wrap it up for me. British Breakfast is up next. Again, thank you, Michael, for calling in. I appreciate it. Enjoy. We'll be here next week right on WRAR.org and 97.3 FM.
to our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find.
To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted.
To those that bring us together.
And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people.
To those that give up and those who do not care.
To those who abuse themselves and others.
And those who revive again.
To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by death.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life,
and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead.
To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
The truth that lies in our hearts, all my relations.
Dead.